You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 904 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Headlines, Astros suck right now. It's just terrible. It's just so awful right now. I mean, that was one of the worst homestands I can remember. I mean, honestly, can you remember a worse one?
They went 1-5, right?
Yeah.
Won the first one.
A bad team, and a team that came in here reeling.
And smacked you around.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're having the exact opposite season that the Red Sox are having. The Red Sox were terrible, and we were making fun of them. What have they ripped off, like 9 in a row or something like that?
Good. Good for them.
Astros win a game? Can that happen? Because you guys come in
They're going on the road. They're going to win now.
They're getting away from people who bother them?
Yeah. They're getting away. Apparently, Reagan's been right this whole time. Mm-hmm. They're getting away from... They can't play at home because they hate their wives and family. So they're bothersome. So they got to get on the road to win. All right.
Why does that upset you that that's possibly true?
It's not the truth. How many teams play well at home? There are every team plays better at home.
I think. Have you ever thought in your life, just be honest here, I love my wife and kids. Have you ever, however, thought, man, at any point when your kids were young and in the house, did you think, man, I just wish I could have this house by myself right now? I wish that no one was here so I could just do whatever I want to do. And just
they're
relax.
Gone every other week. It's not like okay. I know them. They're home for a week and then they're gone for a week. I mean, it's not like that. It's day in, day out, the drudgery of
And you have
breaks.
To make.
You know what? You never get a break.
Well, the Red Sox are 3-3.
Pierce so late.
That well, he does do that. The Red Sox are 3-3 at home and 6-0 on the road. So maybe
3-3 and 6-0 on the road.
Yep.
We just got to start looking into this. And find out which of these players have children and which ones have annoying girlfriends/wives.
I don't think you can fight it. The Astros 1-5 at home, 5-1 on the road. The A's 1-6 at home, 4-1 on the road.
You can't fight the feeling.
You can't fight it, John.
That's a too short talk. I'm trying to tell you back in the 80s.
Okay. Of course the Phillies are 5-1 at home, 1-5 on the road.
That's three teams. All right.
The Marlins 1-5 at home, 4-1 on the road. Of course, the Phillies are 5-1 at home, 1-5. But those are all single guys, though. You don't have to worry.
They're all single?
Yeah.
They're not all single guys.
I did
guys.
My research. They're all single guys.
Bryce Harper has a family. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
The assumption would be that because the Dodgers and the Giants are good at home, the assumption would have to be that the Astros' significant others are the worst significant others in all of baseball. If we're going to buy into Reagan's approach, that they must be with the worst people. And I don't believe that.
The Astros are off today, right? Or do they play tonight?
I'll look it up.
It's Jackie Robinson Day today.
Everyone's wearing 42?
Number 42 today.
They play... No, they had the day off.
Day off.
They'll wear 42 tomorrow then.
Maybe, unless Seattle is playing today. Maybe. Well, maybe they will.
I think every team does do it.
Just once, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can expect everybody to have number 42 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Urquidy on the mound. You'll be able to tell him he's the guy mowing down the Mariners.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You guaranteed that it would,
yeah.
Like Urquidy this road, they're going to get right on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. After that game, he won't have a 5.27 like your $85 million guy. Okay? All right? It's going to be below that after the game. Just watch and learn.
He's in fives right now.
So I didn't check the group text because why would I during the show, but Lance did send pictures and video of his brisket.
Yeah. I told y'all every now, time it comes
really
up
moved
intentionally,
down the rankings of,
every time it comes up on the show, willfully on the show, John did it this time, we will get proof that you guys are wrong.
I didn't do it. The caller started talking about you.
Raheel said, why are you sending these?
What?
Yeah, it's inappropriate.
It is inappropriate.
And if you hold them, it's the kind where the...
We don't care about the live
see
one.
It kind of move. Yeah, the live one where it kind of moves like this. See? Ooh, you can see the camera moving as I take it. Man, these are great. You guys send me emails. I'll send my brisket pictures and videos.
No one wants your brisket pictures.
We can't even prove that that's actually your brisket.
Look at me and you in front of the Wu-Tang Financial.
Oh, the haters hate it.
See? Look how juicy this is.
Let's get you sure he's you sure he's still a good person?
I can't do this. This is
you can't you can't concentrate.
We gotta go to a break.
Do you need some time alone?
Yeah, I need to get one of those private browsers.
He needs Cardi B could he needs a massage this. Right now.
You want the
his massage is ready.
The incognito window for your brisket is what you're looking for.
Do y'all think is Deshaun? Will South Park do a Deshaun Watson?
I'm sure, of course they will. At some point.
Oh right? My gosh!
They're sports fans. They're Broncos fans. They're from Colorado. Will they do a Deshaun Watson? They will, right?
Well,
yeah.
South Park's going to do a Deshaun.
There will be some distance because there's still criminal proceedings. But if this just all it turns out to be settlements and there's no criminal charges, I think they'll do it definitely.
But it's gonna be. It has to be the massage angle.
It has to be. Yeah.
Did you see the latest one? The one who filed? She was a makeup artist on Instagram. Yeah. Deshaun reached out like, "Hey, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey, see you do makeup. How about maybe massages? But I'm a makeup artist. But I like your look. So maybe you can do a massage. I'm not trained in massage. I'm trained in makeup. Maybe you can make up your mind and do a massage on me." That's in my mind. That's maybe how it went. Because that would have been the line that I might have used. And why don't you make up your mind and do this massage? This is now makeup artists are getting asked for massages.
He had to run out of massages.
Let me hit some other ones for you.
He had to run out of them.
At any point, will any of the girls who mentioned or in the future be baristas at a will work at a Starbucks? Will he slide into a Starbucks DM?
How does that relate to a massage?
How does makeup artist?
Well, you deal with. I don't know.
No, makeup artist doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
How does tattoo artist?
But what I can see hot barista have you seen? A makeup artist I can see.
Oh, they exist.
Do they?
Yeah, just a hot girl working at Starbucks. It exists. It exists. We don't know right now, but yeah. Tattoo artist. This is probably the favorite.
It is?
I could see him saying, tattoos.
I haven't seen all of them. Are they tattooed? I don't know if
there's
he likes that.
There's some smoke shows.
Well, yeah. No, I know, but you might not like the tattoo look.
Deshaun might not. It's not my
thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Girl in a mall who tries to sell Israeli sea salt.
No, that's it.
They're usually pretty good looking. Excuse me, I'd like for you. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. And the one who, like, this is a sea scrub salt and it's in the Israeli sea salt kiosk. Has he ever reached out to one
that
of those girls for a massage?
That's a real possibility.
That's a real possibility. Travel, flight attendant.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, can I get your number? Hey, I got your.
Yeah.
Listen, do you do massages?
No,
that's no different than makeup artists.
I'm a waitress in the air. No.
They're not air waitresses.
Wow. I'm and a waitress
the,
in
and
the air.
And you know what she's not going to respond with? No, dummy, I'm a waitress in the air. She's not going to say that.
She might. You don't
if
know.
Something jumps off in a restaurant, do you think waiters and waitresses are telling you where the exits are and they're sitting there? No, that's what a flight attendant does. Put some respect on their name.
Bring me a beer.
Bank teller, hot bank teller. What about hot bank teller?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think you can find a profession he wouldn't reach out to.
There's nothing. If he's going after makeup artists, there's no one that's off limits. Nobody.
Hairstylist
it's
for
just,
sure.
It, what do you look like? That's all.
Hairstylist for
you,
sure.
Hey, you're hot. You must do a massage. You must be
able to. You must be willing to do one at least.
You're hot. You'd want to do a massage on me on the groin and buttocks area, right?
Do you specialize in groin and buttocks?
It's about time you ask me. I've been waiting for my chance.
Yeah, Rusty, he's going to have a hard time explaining why Deshaun's just reaching out to makeup artists for massages. What? Why did your client reach out to a woman known for doing makeup for a massage? Well, I can't really answer that question. Well,
that is going to be a
because
tough one.
Because.
Why did he want what?
That is a good
That's
question.
A good question.
Hold on. No, that is a question, and it's a fair question. It's one, and I think you're going to be, when the facts all come out on this, I think you're going to be, it's going to really, I hope you keep that same energy. Rusty's going to use David Mulligetta. Yep. Like, I hope you keep that same energy on that question about makeup artists, because when all the facts come out, hold on, I got a call.
We didn't hear your phone ring.
It's on vibrate.
Okay.
We didn't hear vibrate either.
He walks off.
He just leaves.
He walks out of the press conference. Yes. Yes.
What if it rings?
That's terrible. I got to go, guys. Something happened.
No. And then boom, I can't talk about it. Come on, guys. You know, this actually, Deshaun did use this line.
What?
KJ says, come on, LZ, you know what Deshaun's line is when they say that that's not my profession. There's a first time for everything. Deshaun used that line on one of them.
Is this your prediction?
It's in Tony Busby's. Yes, it's in one of the lawsuits. There's a first time for everything.
Allegedly.
No, it's in the lawsuit. It's not allegedly.
No, it is alleged.
Alleged that he said it. Yeah.
Oh.
But it is in a lawsuit, but it's alleged.
It's
alleged.
It's not, no,
yeah,
it's,
but the lawsuit means it's alleged now. You don't know that he said that.
Oh, no. Right.
And now I use my John Granato powers. You don't know that that was said. How do you know? Were you there doing it too?
No.
Did you have a towel on? Did you bring your own small
did
towel?
Did you feed Deshaun that line? Were you getting a dual massage at the time?
I wonder if any massage therapist, they start their massage. You know, they drape. They just take a sheet, like usually. A bed sheet over.
No, he wanted a towel though.
Well, he brought his own. Like, yeah. Well, it's not a BYOT.
Hot. No, it's hot.
Yeah, guys, I want a massage. It's a BYOT, right? What's that? Bring your own towel?
No.
I never heard of that.
And it's the little quarterback towel that he puts over, you know, that he
dries his hands.
That he dries his hands with. Here.
look at Lance.
Okay, I got to take it. You need to talk about insurance.
BYOTs are not a thing. All right, so listen. I texted the word money to 232323 and they said, what's your address? And this is what happens. I gave my address. This is for TGS. And TGS said, hey, Lance, this is Daniel. This is Daniel. I didn't say Lance. Just need to get some more information on your roof. I want to find out how old is your roof. And so they asked some other questions because they've got a little different type of roof. It's like a metal roof or whatever. And I told him we bought it, and I gave him all the information. And when he came back, he said, okay, this is what we can do for you. And that amount was basically the same amount that I was being offered from the last company that I used. And that's fine. And that happens sometimes, too, where you don't get a savings. The last savings they got me were so good. I had such a good price that one's probably going to last me now for 2 years. But every year I do this. And if you're not shopping your homeowner's insurance, when you have a chance to get A-rated insurance companies fighting for your business, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Text the word money to 232323 and find out what your A-rated homeowner's insurance can cost you. In many cases, the savings are into the thousands. In some cases, it might be $300. That's $300 back in your pocket. You just throw $300 of cash on the ground and walk away? No, that's stupid. But that's what you're doing with your homeowner's insurance. Get A-rated insurance and get it and a firm home quote within 15 seconds. When you text the word money to 232323, that's tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
I'm in love with the go-go. I'm in love with the go-go.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, one thing we haven't gotten to yet, big story, and it's going to affect every college player. The NCAA now will allow you to transfer without sitting a season, college football and basketball. That is passed. We knew it was going to happen. It has passed. Now there are literally thousands of kids in the transfer portal in football and basketball.
It'll change. Like, this is going to become like international soccer, where rosters will be vastly different every single year. See a guy here, a guy here. Now, if you want to do it more than once, which is crazy, it doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while you see it. It'll cost you that extra
one time.
Year.
Yeah, one
but,
time.
Listen. I think it makes it easier. I understand. I like it in theory. I do. And I think it makes, and I think universities, you want to know one of the reasons why I think universities are okay with this? Because they're not having to fit the bill for 5 years of college in terms of scholarships.
Well.
Because when you sit out a year, you're under scholarship. When you sit out that year, you're still going to school, and if they want to get that fifth year in, they can get that fifth year in. it makes it less likely that people, once they transfer and they don't have to sit out a year, I think it makes it less likely that I think they'll be gone after four in most cases.
Yeah.
So it could save a little bit of money that way. Look, the genie's out of the bottle. The transfer portal.
Well, they were
portal,
probably sitting wherever they were before, so they still only have 4 years left.
Do you know there are transfer portal rankings now that are being done
players?
Oh, yeah. It's no different than JUCO ratings.
Forget JUCO. Like it's high school ratings.
This guy, Mohamed Diallo. So Mohamed Diallo was at JUCO, then he went to Texas A&M. He left Texas A&M and went to Central Michigan. This guy flashed to me. I'm like, holy crap, this guy's pretty good. This defensive tackle. So I looked his name up, and I realized, oh, he was at Texas A&M for a little bit. Then he went to Central Michigan. Now he's transferring again to somebody else. He's in the transfer portal again. He's going somewhere else.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's this is now the fourth school. I mean, you went from JUCO to A&M to Central Michigan to a new school. I can't find where he's going. There's no information. But this article I said was read was it was a Michigan article, and it said the Michigan is hot and heavy on one of the top players in the transfer portal. Like, that's a real thing, transfer portal rankings.
Yeah.
And kids who roll into the transfer portals, and you and I talked about this, they're taking a chance. A
giant chance.
And it's actually, I don't think many of them have really understood what a chance. They've got something here. You're really rolling the dice on not having anything. You could easily step down.
No, you from not the only step portal, down, but you out. Won't even, yeah, step out.
That's you're not, isn't
no,
it?
Absolutely.
Where guys lose scholarships completely?
As soon as you go into the transfer portal, here's the deal. The school you're out now. You don't have, that scholarship you had here is done. It's done. Now you got to go and you got to find another school. If you're really good, you'll find another school. Another school. But if not, man, you're going to have to settle for somewhere if you're not known, if you don't have any connection to a school that somebody that was recruiting you beforehand that you know that they're going to want you. And oh, by the way, I feel bad for the high school kids now because it's like, I don't have to recruit. I can have a guy that's got already college experience. He's older. I recruited him before. He might be a higher ranked guy, or he just that's somebody that we really want. He's going to take that place of that high school scholarship.
This is really going to hurt the kids who aren't handling their business out of high school too, and end up on the JUCO route. The very best JUCO guys are still obviously going to find homes. But let me tell you, if it's a choice between a guy who you know has his academics handled and is a decent player who's in a transfer portal, you've got tape on him. Yeah. You're going to take that guy before a lot of the JUCO.
Well,
guys.
And it depends on how many years you got left. If you transfer after your freshman year somewhere and you didn't play, you still got 4 years to play. You still got 4 years to go, and you can play right away. And that's a school that recruited you before. I'm telling you, this is. We talk about how this is going to screw fans and whatnot. This is really going to hurt high school kids because if you're not one of the top kids, why would I take a kid that I've got to develop? Now, as my 25th guy, when I could take a guy that's ready to play for me right now out of the transfer portal.
Well, if they can play, you're going to take a kid who can play.
Well, but no, there's
that you can develop.
Listen, when you're making up 85, there's 85 guys on your roster, there's a lot of guys can't play.
If
there's a lot of guys can't play.
Oh, no, if there's a guy that you think, man,
no,
this is borderline, you take a transfer portal guy because you can be rid of him sooner.
Yeah. Well,
and
you might have 4 years of him.
But I'm saying you also don't have to eat up. If you take a player like that you don't really fully believe in, that's going to eat up a scholarship. Realistically, it's going to eat, unless it's Les Miles, it's yanking scholarship from you, it's going to eat up 4 years.
Well, now most schools are, we give you a scholarship and it's for till you graduate. That's where.
Is it really good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It should be. Unless you do
that's
something.
That's for the most part. Yes, right. For the most part. We owe you that scholarship. We owe you 4 years, even if you can't play. We owe you
but
those
then,
4 years.
You know what? If you're not going to, but the scholarship is for participation in this, and this. If you're not going to participate in things, that's why from what I hear, colleges want to really look into, like, they want to really fight hard for, you need to play in the bowl games. You need to start playing in the bowl games. Because
well,
there's a talk.
That's all guys that are leaving anyway.
So I was on a conference. I was on a conference call yesterday with 33rd team. It's really cool.
Yeah, I get emails from them.
Yeah, so 33rd team is Mike Tannenbaum. It's got Doug Peterson in there, Joe Banner, Ben McAdoo.
Joe Banner.
Ben McAdoo. Chris Palmer's in there. There's a guy who is a was a personnel director for the Lions who is now at Michigan State. And the guy at Michigan State said, you know, if I – he's at Michigan State now. He'd been with the Lions for years. And he said – I made a comment. Somebody asked a question about how are these guys who opted out, how's it affecting their draft stuff? And I said, for first-rounders, because they said it doesn't seem to have bothered Ja'Marr Chase. And I said, first-round guys aren't really being bothered by it. I said, it's guys outside of the first. A lot of them are. And I said, the guys who are really getting hit are guys who either aren't performing at their pro days, deciding they're not even going to work out. And then guys who opted out in the middle of the year, those guys are getting killed. And this guy said, you know, if it's two players, if there are two players, and I think they're equal players, I'm taking a guy who competes. The guy who played in a bowl game, the guy who, like Milton Williams, right? There's a kid out of Louisiana Tech, Milton Williams. If you got a defensive tackle who, and Milton Williams was on his Zoom class the morning of his pro day, and he was turning in a paper. The morning, not only did he not opt out, Milton Williams was doing all of his classwork and turning papers in, working towards his graduation on the day of his pro day. He didn't opt out. He didn't say, I'm going to work out. And this guy put up one of the greatest pro days in history at defensive tackle.
Huh.
And in the morning, he was writing a paper and finishing in it, or he finished a paper, and I think he had to take an exam that morning. They like guys like that.
Yeah.
Like NFL teams say, this guy's
that's
about
a responsible
this
kid.
Guy is
a responsible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He ain't gonna
and,
be,
and he played. And so we know he loves him. Football, yeah. But he's, yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so I think, you know, I think the transfer portal thing, I think the only problem is you have a lot of guys who make impulse rash decisions that they wish they wouldn't have. I'll read stories all the time about a player who didn't get along, butted head with this coach early on. But then, you know, I realized I was immature and, you know, this guy really made me a man. I just read a guy from Rutgers was like that. And I might have done something rash when I was 18, 19 years old. Sometimes you just have to, you're immature. And I guess it's the team's job to try to talk you into sticking it out and maybe father figuring you, whatever the case needs to be. But I do think some kids make some bad decisions just because they just are frustrated with the lack of playing time or
they
want everything to happen right away for them. And it's a process. It takes time.
Absolutely. 928 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here to hang with us, 713-780-3776. Let's get back to some Rockets talk on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Meals Houston. This year's tournament will take place Wednesday, April 28th at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra, lunch from Uberito, dinner from BB's Tex Orleans, 18 holes of golf, and a quick, socially distant award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. That's April 28th at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club.
All right. Wildcat Golf Club. So tomorrow we're auctioning me off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for a spot to play with you in this tournament, right?
For three spots.
Three spots, okay.
Three spots. Now, it's normally it only costs $97.50 to play in this thing.
Okay.
So that is unbelievable. That is an unbelievable price. It's actually a little bit more than it actually costs to play at Wildcat. It's not much more at all.
But you get
twice. Food and elk and beer.
Yeah.
And sodas.
So it's actually not.
No,
it's
actually a lot less than it would cost. You get food and drinks and you get to golf and you get to hang out with your buddies and all of that stuff. So tomorrow we want you to bid on, and you know what? It's just got to be more than $300. That's all for three guys. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking.
You get to hang out with John. I mean, I can tell you.
It's not all that great.
It's not worth it, but you guys seem to like him, so you get to do that.
Hey, you might like it.
And you'll be in his element. He loves golf. He loves hanging out and drinking. It'll be John at his best or worst,
exactly,
depending on
what
how you feel
be.
About him.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. I could be horrible, horrific.
Look, you Listen. Guys are probably going to like him because he'll be drinking, he'll be talking. I hate that John. Well, I hate all Johns mostly, but right. I hate that John specifically. But you guys will enjoy it because he seems to be someone people like hanging out with. I don't understand it, but
yeah. We're gonna get the bid up tomorrow. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy went right at $2,000 right away, right? Wasn't he? Was it $2,000 or $3,000? Whatever he said,
$2,000
last year. He went $2,000, and he.
Oh, is this the one that benefits Provis?
No, that in the fall it is.
Oh, yeah.
We do that.
That's what
he
went
this
for
one is for Kids Meals, which is great.
Yeah.
Kids Meals Houston. So, but tomorrow we want you to bid on me. You don't have to do $2,000. You just got to do more than $300, okay? And let's get it going early and bid. And Julia, are you here tomorrow? Is Julia here tomorrow? So she'll be taking the bids. You can call and talk to Julia, okay? I mean, that's not why you pervert should call.
I mean, okay. From what I told, those aren't pleasant. What I've been told, those aren't exactly pleasant experiences
what do you
for
mean?
Julia.
They're not good for Julia?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, Julia? She says
the call, usually the person who wins isn't that pleasant.
Put her on
what
the
do
mic.
You mean?
I want to know. Usually the person who wins. All right, you got to come in here again, Julia. Keep the mask on. Don't let the person. Del, check the
let's see,
check
Twitch.
The viewer count on Twitch.
Let's see Twitch. Right now it's 167. And Julia's coming in. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
From your last time on the air, did you have any when you basically outed John for being that your friends think he's the worst?
No,
like he's a bad guy.
She said, "No, John is actually the nicest person of all, everybody." That's what I heard.
I didn't say that.
Oh my God! Look at it going crazy. Everybody jumping on for Julia.
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy,
fans.
Isn't it?
That's
isn't it
very creepy?
Don't read the comments.
I'm not going to.
Last time you wanted me to scroll up so you could read the comments.
Yeah, I made that mistake.
That's a mistake. Don't do it.
So I thought.
So let me ask you a question. Have you gotten any inappropriate calls from our listeners?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Oh. Of course.
Yes. No.
Yes.
You get inappropriate calls?
Yes. All the time.
Yeah. All the time?
Oh, wait. They can't see you. That's the problem is because we got a screen here.
That's okay. They don't need to. It's fine.
You want to move towards Lance. Move
oh,
towards Lance
they can't cause... see because she's in the middle.
Yeah, she's in the middle.
Oh, too bad. Yeah. So too sad. Bad. Oh, now Dell's changing the...
Oh, there it is. There
Dell's,
it goes.
Dell's changing the feed.
Dell's changing it.
So you have gotten inappropriate calls?
Oh,
100%. That just seems...
Yeah.
What kind of
horrible things do they say?
Stuff I don't even want to say on air.
They say it on the... They tell you that on the phone?
Yes.
No,
they say.
Yes. I'll tell you.
Why are you surprised by this?
Why? No, because our listeners are really, really nice people.
No, they're not.
Yeah, what? Yes, no. I would.
Some are.
They could date my sister.
Which? Ooh, I didn't know you didn't say daughter.
Can they date Frankie?
Yeah, he didn't say daughter.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're too creepy.
Thank
my
you.
My sister's older, and she, you know what?
She's looking for somebody. I'm younger than your daughter, so.
Yeah.
Why would you want her? Yeah, why would you just be creeping on
her,
Julia?
I said they're nice people, though.
No.
Not for Julia. Not that. No.
No, that's an no. out on that.
Not for a nice,
out.
Yeah. Nice young lady from
I didn't
Wilmette.
Know that somebody who calls in is creepy to you.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Is this what women really deal with all the time?
Yes.
Just creepiness, just. We need to out this.
Well, she's doing it right now.
I know. I really didn't think people would be creepy calling in a intern when they're calling about sport. Do they just not talk about sports?
Yeah.
Like, do they say something creepy before they get on the air?
What do they say?
If they say creepy things, I'm probably not going to
put them on.
You just hang up.
Yeah.
You just hang up.
Julia does have some power here. Now, if you go creepy.
She'll just hang up on you creeps.
Because if they're saying that to me... What are they going to say on air?
Oh, well, they wouldn't say that.
No.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Well, I got the button for that, but true.
That's true.
Yeah. That's awful, Julia.
With John's new hair.
Sorry, you have to go through it.
With John's new hair, they could make a move.
These are probably some of Lance's people he brought over.
Not
from
my people.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Your people have been creepy for a long time, and they're my people, unfortunately. So what happened? Why is it an unpleasant experience to deal with somebody who wins an award or wins a...
A prize?
A prize.
That's not as bad. Yeah. Sometimes people are just...
What do they say?
Rude. Just, just
give me my stuff.
Just rude. And sometimes it's hard to hear people, and I ask them to repeat, and then they get annoyed. And I'm like, okay, I'm just trying to make sure I have the right information so that you get your prize.
I'm sure
you'd be way more annoyed if it ended up not being.
Julia, we got to let you go. Mike Florio is supposed to be on. Oh, no.
Well, good job, Lance. He set up with Florio for 9:30. Guess what? It's 9:38. How's that working out for Florio?
Not great.
Florio's sitting by the phone waiting for Lance to call.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't screw this up.
Well, you kind
of. I said, can we do 5 minutes from now? Sorry, Julia. Okay, we got creepy people. Okay. Yeah, so Mike Florio's going to join us. You guys are creepy on Julia. She's not taking off her mask. She's going to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So all you creeps can't see exactly what she looks like, so you can't use your voice
recognition.
Do you
want to break now, and then we'll get to Florio?
Yeah, let's do that.
Right.
Julia, has anyone ever done this? So it goes, "Hello, Julia. I just want," like one of those creepy voices, Bane? Like Saw.
No.
Yeah, like
no.
Saw voice or.
People have said hi, Julia, which kind of is a little bit.
Well, you're
hi, Julia.
You're kind of famous.
Though. Yeah,
you're gonna have to get used.
One
to
of our
that,
most you. Famous interns, you, Mary, Will, Doctor.
Yeah.
Trey, now no, producer.
Yeah, you ain't Trey yet, but slow down. It's 9:39 ESPN.
She's like, what?
But one day, if you work really hard,
yeah.
You can become female Trey.
Yeah. I don't think I want to.
Well,
yeah, well, it's too late. That's on you then. Well, we're 120 more people, 130 more people.
Oh, my
Julia.
God.
Yeah.
Creeps. Don't You're say, all creepy out no, there. Mike Florio creepy. Next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:42 ESPN 97.5. Mike Florio is joining us here in just a second. Julia is giving him a call, and we'll get Mike Florio on. Mike Florio, well, I want to ask him.
Stop Twitch. No. This is not Deshaun asking if she does massages. I'm not. Mm-mm. You know, you guys are going to have to get. We're going to have to ban
this
whole thing.
And we heard she told us what some of you say. It's gross.
That actually.
Let's change it up. Mike Florio is joining us from Pro Football Talk to talk about what's going on with Deshaun. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Man, we appreciate you being here. Just a quick, in your opinion, as a lawyer, what do you think the scorecard reads right now, Tony Busby versus Rusty Harden?
Well, it depends what court we're talking about. Court of law, Harden has the only victory and the only skirmish that they've had, which is forcing the names of the plaintiffs onto the lawsuits. It resulted in one of the lawsuits being dropped, although it could be refiled. Court of public opinion, I think overall Busby's been mopping up the floor with Harden from day one. Even before Harden was involved, Busby's been winning. I don't agree with all of his tactics, but I think he's done a very good job of trying the case in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, and that is, in a civil case, I was talking to a civil lawyer about it. He said it is important. It is important that you win in the court of public opinion, just if for settlement maybe, because Rusty Harden is seeing how this is going with the public. Maybe he'll think, I can't go to court with this because I see how bad it is for Deshaun publicly.
Well, it's more than that, too, because Deshaun is inherently a public individual. Putting pressure on him through those channels relates to and translates to settlement value. You know, at the end of the day, there is a loose number that gets placed on any civil litigation. And a typical personal injury case, car accident, it's driven by the medical bills, lost wages, other out-of-pocket expenses. That becomes the primary factor for ultimately putting a value on the case for settlement purposes as you try to get it worked out before you roll the dice with the jury. With a case like this where there really isn't any tangible out-of-pocket expense you can point to, the value has to come from somewhere. And from Deshaun Watson's perspective, the fact that this could put his football career on hold until these cases are resolved. And the longer this lasts, he's eventually going to be put in a position where he has to choose between invoking his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination or testifying. And if he pleads the Fifth, he's basically forfeiting the civil cases. And if he testifies, he could get twisted up into the kind of knots that would be a blueprint for a prosecutor if someone decides to actually proceed with criminal charges. So there's value in making this all disappear. And I don't mean that in any way other than handling it the right way, giving the individuals involved a sense of quasi-justice, quasi-day in court. They're satisfied with the outcome. That's something that I've been saying for weeks Deshaun Watson needs to do. And I'm sure that people close to him have been advising him would love to be able to jump into a time machine and go back a month or so and take advantage of the opportunities to do that before this all went off the rails.
But at this point, why would, okay, if you're Busby, man, I got a nice case. Why would I settle when I can possibly get a heck of a lot more? How much am I going to settle for?
Well, it all depends upon the timing. And right now, if Deshaun Watson is trying to get Tony Busby's attention, obviously through Rusty Harden and other lawyers working with Harden, trying to get Busby's attention, I think it's in Busby's best interest to be unpredictable and erratic right now, because you sense that there is urgency by Deshaun Watson to get this settled now. And at the right time, Busby needs to swoop in with an offer that Deshaun Watson can't refuse, and that if he does, it's only going to get worse later. See, I think part of what Busby is trying to prove now to Harden, to Watson himself, and anyone who's paying attention, when the opportunity arises to take care of this, you need to take care of it, because you had opportunities before and you failed. So that opportunity is going to swing around again at some point. And I think Busby, if he understands, and I assume he does, how the football side of this works, there's a sweet spot coming up to try to resolve these cases. And there's value in getting them resolved before you pull the pin on the grenade that results in Deshaun Watson being subject to aggressive questioning in a deposition, before you really start putting a lot of time and effort into the cases. Because there arguably is a point, once we go past it, it doesn't matter anymore to Deshaun Watson. Let's just hunker down and fight. So I think maximum settlement value in a case like this could be coming in the next few weeks, especially if Deshaun Watson thinks there's a way he can resolve these cases and then get traded, move on with his football career while he awaits whatever the NFL will do. Because I still think the NFL is going to take action, even if he would find a way to resolve everything right now.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports with us right now, talking about the Deshaun Watson case. You're somebody with a legal background, for people who don't know. That's why I think I felt like you were uniquely positioned to talk about this case. I think, you know, Mike, when you look at this, and it is difficult to have these conversations for you on such a large platform, because you just had to basically, you know, put in there, we want this to be resolved in a way. Look, there are two conversations that we have. There is the outside of football discussion about men and women and sexual harassment / assault. And then there's the what does this mean from a football standpoint. And it doesn't diminish. I think it's two conversations that we need to have, and it doesn't mean that they are mutually exclusive. But we certainly, I just want to say this: we all care about the personal stuff going on in this with everybody involved. But from a football standpoint, there's another discussion, and that one, in putting out there that all of this, obviously, we need to acknowledge. But Deshaun Watson has went from having X trade value, he wanted out, the Texans didn't want to let him go. Now, what takes place now with Deshaun Watson? Do you see a scenario where he could be traded after the draft, or does this need to be an entire season passes before he has proper trade value if the Texans want to move?
It's all tied to when the cases are resolved, if they can be resolved. That's why there's greater settlement pressure on Deshaun Watson now, and in turn, greater settlement value for each of the 22 plaintiffs as coordinated by Tony Busby. But since he's the guy who's the common link to all these plaintiffs, he's the guy they have to get through to. He's the guy who's going to recommend ultimately to each individual plaintiff, yes or no, up or down, accept the offer or reject the offer. When I practiced law, and I wanted clients like this, you want your client ultimately to turn to you and ask, what would you do? What should I do? And the lawyer is the one who's uniquely situated to make that assessment. But if you can get all of these properly resolved in a way that allows the 22 individuals to believe that they've had some semblance of justice and they're satisfied with the outcome, that's when the door opens for a potential trade. With the new team knowing that there's some vague reality of 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, maybe a full season for Deshaun Watson based upon these 22 claims that eventually would be settled. If it's not settled, the problem then is, if you trade Deshaun Watson, he shows up for camp, he gets put on the commissioner exempt list, you're looking at a $10 million salary this year, a salary north of $30 million next year. If they decide he's on that list until all these cases are resolved, and they don't get resolved for 2 years, and it's usually 18 months to 2 years from the time you file to the time you end it. That's my own experience. I don't have any reason to think it's different in Houston. You're looking at somebody that may have to pay this guy $43 million to not play for them. So I'm not trading for Deshaun Watson if I'm any other team until I know that I'm not going to be paying him to not play, and the only thing that I am waiting for is whatever the unpaid suspension is by virtue of punishment under the personal conduct policy. So the first impediment in my mind is getting these cases resolved. And if they don't get resolved, I think he's untradeable.
Hey, absolutely. This Will Hobson article with Mike Florio right now, he talks about Scott Gatfield. He was the general counsel for Athletes First, and he refused to deal with Tony Busby. I'm of the opinion, and it quite possibly all of this could have been avoided if Athletes First had come to a settlement with her, but Busby would not have made it public, so all of the other ones would not have come forward. None of this might have happened, Mike, if he had settled this first case before it became public.
We don't know how many more there would have been. We don't know how many others Busby already had lined up, and one of the concerns when you're the individual who faces this demand for settlement is, once we agree to one, when's the next one? When's the next one? When's the next one? And that's one of the reasons why these settlements are always confidential. But you want to know what you're dealing with before you ultimately settle. But there is a chance. There is a chance that Busby had one client and only one client, and recognized, based upon the facts as they were explained to Busby, that you take this to a jury, you win, but the damages aren't going to be earth-shattering. So you make a settlement demand, and I frankly think $100,000 as an opening settlement demand is incredibly reasonable, because it means there's room to move. And where this went off the rails, I believe, is when Scott Gatfield said to Tony Busby, essentially, give us more information or make a different demand. You just don't do that. That's the one thing that people need to understand. It breaches the etiquette of settlement talks, of negotiations of any kind between lawyers. You don't ask a lawyer to bid against himself. What Scott Gatfield should have done, and what I would have done, if I don't know enough about this case, but I recognize there's something there. And remember, at the bottom of the email that Rusty Harden, for some reason, publicized, where Gatfield said there's a lesson to be learned here by Deshaun. I still don't know why in the world they would publicize that email. But if I believe that there's a lesson here to be learned by Deshaun, and the opening number is 100,000, I'm responding with 10, and I'm saying, I'd like to know more about the specifics here before I can fully value this. Because then what I think Busby would have been expected to do under the etiquette I've referred to is cut his demand to 90, provide some more information, and then you wait for Gatfield to come back at 20. And you go back and forth. I think they would have settled between 50 and 75 based upon an opener of 100. And he's probably already spent 50 to 75 on legal fees now. So it's money well spent when you think of it that way. And it becomes, you know, they call it a nuisance suit. And that doesn't mean to, in any way, demean the allegations. But what the defendant decides is, I'll just write a check to avoid writing all the checks I'll have to pay to my lawyer for monthly legal fees and rolling the dice on possibly going to trial and losing and having to testify and having a distraction. I'll pay you 50 to 75 to make this go away. And I think in hindsight, they could have done that with the first lawsuit. Whether there would have been more, we'll never know.
Well, I've got a buddy that went to Rusty Harden. He had some problems. Rusty starts at $1 million, and he said he's got five lawyers on this. Rusty is maybe the biggest hit financially that Deshaun is going to take, because they, and especially with now the discovery that they're going to have with all of these masseuses, that they're going to have to look into their past and their backgrounds. Rusty is quite possibly going to be well into the millions. That's not, and I don't think that's an understatement, Mike.
Oh, I agree with you completely. And look, he may do a bang-up job in court. I think the PR approach leaves something to be desired. The admission, for example, that consensual activities occurred with some of the massage therapists. I mean, maybe that's unavoidable when it's time for Deshaun to testify. I don't know why you're putting that out there into the stream of public discussion, but that's a different debate altogether. We can agree it's going to be very expensive. And $1 million retainer right out of the gates, my guess is they've already chewed past the 50 to 75 that would have been required to get this case settled, if my estimation is right. And you don't start at 100 if your bottom line's 100. Tony Busby started at 100 with room to move. And my experience handling cases like this on both sides, when you start at 100, your signal is your bottom line is somewhere between 50 to 75. And if Gaffield would have responded with anything, they could have continued that dialogue and resolved this. And it would have been money well spent, obviously, in hindsight, especially if there would have been no one else. Because what happened was they pissed off Tony Busby. And the worst thing you can do with a lawyer who is aggressive and savvy and capable of working the media to his advantage is piss him off, because the closer you are to the middle of his radar screen, the bigger problem you have.
But, Mike, I mean, how much of this rests on Deshaun's shoulders for maybe not being honest with his counsel, even before Rusty Harden? Because clearly he did not give them the information they needed.
Well, here's the reality. And I got a text message the other day from someone I've known since I was 14 years old. And he's got an issue with a former employer where they're trying to get him involved in a lawsuit where he just signed a piece of paper and he's concerned about it. And, you know, I gave him some advice from the perspective of someone who's been in that world. How do you handle yourself in order to not get into a bigger problem than what you already have, which is not a big problem. But my point is, when you're the one who knows how it all works, you got to have the candid conversation and you got to bust through the facade immediately. And I think in this case, in a weird sort of way, Deshaun Watson's otherwise and previously pristine reputation resulted in the creation of an echo chamber. And I feel like to a certain extent that echo chamber still exists. And that's what results in people making bad decisions. What you have to do right away, you got to be the guy's conscience. You got to be the guy on his shoulder who is whispering the hard truths into his ear. That's what he needed right out of the gates. He didn't have it then, and I'm still not convinced he has it now. You need someone who's going to tell him, look, here's what we're dealing with, and it's not going to go away simply because we don't like it, and it's not going to go away simply because we tell the lawyer to go to hell. We're going to have to deal with this, and the sooner we deal with it, the easier it's going to be and the less pain it's going to cause in your overall life.
And with that, you know, Rusty's taken a lot of heat for admitting that there was consensual sex, but that was going to come up early anyway. I mean, in discovery and depositions, that there was sex, and they were going to have to admit that at some point anyway, weren't they?
Well, they're going to have to admit it at some point, but the question is where and when and how do you admit it? And when it's the first press conference you're holding about the case on a day where you do have a slim victory, although Tony Busby would say it was a boomerang, and you could argue every silver bullet that Rusty Harden believes he's fired at Tony Busby or these cases has ultimately been that boomerang. I mean, the whole press release questioning Ashley Solis about her claim that this isn't just for money and they went after her on the $100,000 demand and released all those emails, that in my view, in my opinion, because these are like snowflakes, everyone can be different and there's no right or wrong way, there's no magical formula, but I thought that was a horrendous misstep to go after her that day and release those emails. But yeah, as it relates to admitting that there was consensual activity, you got to find a way to bring those facts out at a time where it's not going to become a big deal. You wait, especially if there's a chance to settle these things in the not too distant future. You don't lead with that. You don't put that out into the public consciousness until you have to. That's just my opinion. And again, every lawyer is going to handle these situations differently. But I would have kept that fact concealed as long as possible, especially if I'm trying to settle these cases.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. You see him all the time. Great insight, Mike. You know what? This has taken a lot of heat off Easterby, hasn't it? Oh. He hung up. Damn. I wanted to get an Easterby comment.
You know he hates Easterby.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It was a free shot for him. You even did this.
I know.
Threw a little softball up there. Now do Easterby. Yeah. Trust me, I could text him back. Hey, we were going to let you take a shot at
and you did.
Call me back.
He does not like Easterby.
Oh, he does not like Easterby. Because he knows the sneaky stuff he's done.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Lance, I think, is this time when Lance says goodbye, Del?
Bye, bitch.
Whoa. Oh, wow. He did get us Florio, though. What?
Not every response needs to be brisket.
No, every time he does bye, biatch, you're going to do
I heard the Easterby comment after you clicked over and laughed out loud. He's got to be the happiest guy right now, other than Busby. As
that's
from Mike
Florio.
Yeah. He heard us say that over after he clicked over. Trust me, Mike would have just knocked just, oh my gosh, look at this, Joe Smith.
Look at the
weak ass slider coming in here.
Joe Smith, why'd you have to ruin? And we had a great segment with Mike Florio, and you ruin it with a Joe Smith.
Brings everyone down.
Makes me want to puke.
Mike didn't paint a rosy picture. There is no rosy picture.
No, he's a bad. You know what?
Can you imagine if they said, you know what, Tony? We're going to do this. Instead of 100,000, we're going 200. Case closed.
That's it.
Sign the NDAs. We'll sign it with pen.
Now, don't you wish Deshaun giving him 200 now?
Deshaun should have said, he should have just taken a wad of $100 bills and thrown it in the air like Pac-Man Jones at a strip club. Just thrown it up there and said, take all this and we're done. And we're done.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much money was saved?
Was saved. Oh, my gosh, Deshaun, you would have
reputation.
Everything.
Reputation.
He'd be on another team right now.
Advertisers.
Everything. Oh, my gosh. Cool. 1002 ESPN 97.5. A huge, huge retirement with Texas ties. Texas is not back, folks. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.